What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. Welcome back to me as well. I was off last week, off the grid in the rural, nethermost regions of the Upper Cumberland in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Corey, I assume, filled in admirably, as he always does. But I'm back. It's me, Mark, and Matt's back there doing his thing, weekly Skews. Oh, it's August 4th, 2026. We're recording this on Monday, August 3rd, about 1:30 p.m. on the West Coast. So how's it going, Mark? How'd you guys do? What'd you talk about? Was Corey real dumb and stuff? Was that fun?
No, I honestly don't even remember what we talked about last week. I'd have to look it up. it's gone. I'm at Brain again. So, okay. But what'd you learn in your travels? Like, how was Clay County?
Well, private equity has made it to Clay County, if you can believe that or not. That tells me that they're like... truly ubiquitous now. According to Matt, you guys talked about robot sex toys. So that's
oh funny. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
You're smart. You're shrewd in that way. That you knew Corey was coming on. You had to pick something that you knew he could rap about. So you went with a robot sex toys. But the only redeeming quality of my home county, my economically ravaged for 30 years home county, is Del Hollow Lake. And the three biggest marinas on Del Hollow Lake are all now owned by Blackstone or BlackRock or whichever one of those. They're all, and so I feel like that's not good. I don't know how much worse it could get, but like, you know, it's weird. There's all these talk about all these people moving in. There's like white Christian Nazis trying to buy up land and stuff. You know about that. That's happening. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's the private equity on the lake and all this stuff. And all these people saying it's like, oh, yeah, they're trying to bring money into the county. But yet, like, the Dairy Queen's closed. The Walgreens is closed now. It's like it only looks worse. So I don't know. Doesn't seem great, none of it. But what else is new?
Yeah, I mean, historically speaking, one person owning everything doesn't usually end great. But we'll see how it goes. So usually August is a slow news month, but somehow we still continue our pace of like living through We Didn't Start the Fire, a new verse every week. So among the stuff we're not going to talk about today, the canoeist got off for damaging the reflecting pool because the prosecutors and the Interior Department were caught lying by the judge, fabricating evidence. That's cool. They tried to put a guy in prison for 10 years to fucking just for... assuage the president's temporary embarrassment, I guess. Who even cares about the fucking reflecting pool anymore? Not me. Trump went on a 4-hour long posting binge yesterday. He posted like 70 times on Truth Social. This is right after he started charging people for access to his posts first so they could do insider trading faster. Like $100,000 a pop, you get to see the president's posts on Truth Social first to know what terrorists are instituting and like what wars he's starting so you know what stocks to short. But what he mainly posted yesterday was like a bunch of AI photos, including one of him singing as Elvis. So someone paid $100,000 to see an AI picture of Trump as Elvis. And then today, the Department of Defense sent out a mass email to basically every officer and all their civilian analyst asking for any ideas they have to win the war in Iran.
Yeah. No bad ideas, Mark. Have a little brainstorming session, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to think outside the box, you know. It's like, like when the Eagles were real bad and they let Vincent Papale play for the team or whatever. They're like, you know, they're like, might as well let some of these, you know.
Why not? That was a great Invincible story, Mark Wahlberg. Good movie.
Yes, yes.
But I do think, like, for the stuff we are going to talk about, I think, is in the zeitgeist in the conversation because I'm guessing the Iran war death toll is higher than we're being told. Because instead, what everyone's talking about is the WNBA, which you might not know this from the popular discourse, but they do play basketball games sometimes.
A lot of people have gotten into it for non-basketball reasons, it seemed like, in the past few years. Which doesn't really surprise me because it's all the same chuds that are always all, you know, we've talked a million times about all the stuff about like trans people in women's sports. It's like, oh, now these guys care about women's sports, you know. They don't watch them. They don't care. It's just another thing that they can find to get mad about.
I think it's because like the Barstool adjacent guys are all gambling addicts, right? And they don't have any like FanDuel bets to post during the summer unless you're going to gamble on baseball, right? So like I think they get into WNBA on the dead zone of the sports calendar before football starts up. Is my guess as to what is why it gets so much attention, but like I don't know. But like, so right now there's a current controversy involving Sophie Cunningham, a statement she made about trans athletes. But I just want to quote here. There's a protest in Portland over the weekend, and some guy was yelling, as I guess is an anti-trans protester, was like, "Trans in women's sports is the patriarchy." Now, I feel like we need like a sound drop when like some reactionary starts using like woke language, because like the stuff about safe spaces and stuff was always kind of eye rolly and annoying, but at least the people who originally started using it meant well, if they're being a little annoying. But when people start using it to in opposition to civil rights, it starts making me real like nervous. So, like, we're eventually going to have, like, whites-only water fountains that are going to be called, like, a safe space for hydration for Caucasians with racial anxiety or some shit.
Yeah. Right. But you said it was a guy that yelled that. That changes it a little bit. But isn't that kind of, wouldn't that be sort of on brand for, like TERF stuff? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, weren't TERFs always, like, trans-exclusionary radical feminists? They were, like, otherwise. Mm-hmm. I met some TERFs at my shows before, like, early on, like, years ago. But who were otherwise woke about a lot of things, but we're not down with that one part. So, especially in Portland, somebody yelling trans people in women's sports is the patriarchy.
You know, it
feels kind of on brand to me.
I'm glad to know they're still making new content for Portlandia. So, what Sophie actually said was, I want to protect young girls in a locker room or young girls in a sport who shouldn't have to go against biological men. So, to take this in parts, the first part's just shitty because, like, no one, like, there are rules against assaulting people in locker rooms. Those exist. Like, you're not, no one's for assaulting people in locker rooms. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like if you were, like, asked about, like, in the 1960s, how do you feel about school integration? And you're like, well, I'm just against the robbing of young white women of their sexual virtue. And you're like, okay.
Right. Well, I'm sure a lot of people did make that exact argument during that time, to be fair. But also, yeah, I mean, it's also, we've talked, so this has been said a lot too, but it's like that whole thing, the idea that someone who wants to assault girls in a locker room or a bathroom or something, like that's what they're about and that's what they're showing up to do. The idea that they would be like, oh, damn, but there's a rule against that, so I guess I won't, is pretty laughable. Because like you said, it's already illegal. There are laws against, you know, the assaulting part. It doesn't, so what does it matter whether or not you can get into the bathroom or not? If you're a rapist, you're not going to not do it because they put a different fucking sign up or whatever. You know, like,
there's also the part where, like, I don't know how to break it to people that, like, the world you're afraid of is the world you've been living in the whole time. Like,
yes,
there's not a cop stationed outside of every bathroom in the United States ever has there been. Right. The reason people are going into their own locker rooms or own bathrooms is not because of a law or a rule. It's just like human beings typically want to be comfortable and don't want to make other people uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So anyway, the second part, young girls in sport shouldn't have to go against biological men. Like, I'm not going to degrade the merits of, like, as always, I feel like whether or not things are fair in sports is a case by case thing, depending on the person in the sport and how big they are and what they're doing. Anyway, but I need you to show me what person you're talking about, because the Supreme Court has already greenlit the exclusion of trans people from all sorts of school sports. There are, like, trans people have gotten the message and no longer going out for the team. Like, so what? Show me the person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've said that, you know, what I was saying. Me and Corey, when you weren't on here, me and Corey, we were talking about this because we were talking about the Supreme Court ruling about this. And we were doing this whole thing about, like, look, what these people picture in their head, which is essentially Joel Embiid puts a wig on and, you know, just goes and dominates a bunch of girls. That's what they, I was like, of course that would be insane and not a thing that should be allowed. But, like, that doesn't happen. And what I said was, like, that pretty much never happens. And then one of our patrons sent me a message that was like, you know, I like where your head was at, but that really just doesn't ever happen. It's not like pretty much, like, that just doesn't happen, you know. And so I don't know I know we've also talked about, it's like if you start early with hormone replacement therapy and a lot of that stuff, and you're not on testosterone, you're taking a bunch of estrogen for years and years, a lot of the, like, inherent biological advantages are mitigated anyway by that you know, that type of therapy, which is why some of the trans people that were competing at some levels were finishing 5th or 11th or whatever it was, you know, that type of thing. And so in that case, it's like, in that case, who really cares, you know? Yeah. So the first thing isn't happening, and the second thing doesn't seem to be hurting competition and is also extremely rare. So, like, what the hell are we talking about, and why are we talking about it, you know?
Can I say something that's, like, we perfectly designed to make everybody fucking mad at me? Trans people suck at sports. We have a shit ton of evidence. Like, I was looking at, like, I was looking up some stats earlier today. The International Olympic Committee adjusted their rules because they were catching like too many people with their hormone testing levels or whatever, like to try to like make it more trans friendly. Like in 2003, remember how woke we are 2 years after 9/11, right? So they and so since then there've been like 81,000 Olympic athletes. Of those, two of them were trans women. One of them finished dead last, and the other one finished 37th out of 42.
Right.
So, like the world we currently live in, hypothetically speaking, there could be a trans person playing the WNBA. Actually, there has been one who was, like, the non-binary the other direction or whatever, but, like, she had, like, 11-year career no one cared about. But they would have... So, like, the point is, like, whatever you're envisioning... Like, we already have social... Like, I feel like a lot of these people never played sports, right? Because, like, you want sports to be fair so they're competitive. No one goes out to play pickup to win a pickup basketball game 11 to nothing. You divide the teams up to be fair. You want kids get moved up and down like grade levels if they're too big for their class or small for their class all the time, because you don't want like a 6'2" eighth grader playing JV football and hitting other like eighth graders who are sometimes like 5'3" and 120 pounds, right? Schools deal with this all the time. You don't need to anyway. My question, like, we also have social pressures for this. The reason people play sports is to be cool and to have fun. Joel Embiid putting on a wig and dunking on people in WNBA would not be cool. No one would employ him to do that because no one would want to watch that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm not sure if Brock Lesnar, let's take sex and gender out of it for a second. I don't know if Brock Lesnar has any high school eligibility left, but if he signed up for JV wrestling and fucking whipped people's ass, would anyone think that was cool?
Right.
He's not doing that. Why? Because it's not our first day on fucking earth. You don't need a rule against it.
Right.
So,
dude, in this scenario, we're talking about what you have to go through to do that. Like, if you're a dude who's like, oh, man, all I want to do is win swimming medals. in any context, right? Any context, that's what I
want
to do.
I just really want medals. I don't care if anybody hates me.
I'm obsessed with medals. And I don't, and I'm not good enough to win medals against other guys. The idea that, like, you would, A, if you went and competed against women and you did, like, smoke them all in this Brock Lesnar JV thing, again, you're going to catch a lot of shit for that. You're not going to be respected for doing it. Maybe if you're a sociopath, you wouldn't even care. But to get to that point, you have to, like, transition into a woman, you know? That's a big fucking leap to take for regional swimming meet medals in women's swimming or whatever. I just don't get the, like, why? Like, why would anyone do that who just isn't legitimately a trans person, and that's not their rationale for doing it in the first place.
A pretty full example of what you're talking about is like Ben Shapiro's company Daily Wire made a comedy movie called Lady Ballers about a hypothetical, yes, like a group of men who do this to win like a fake WNBA title or whatever. Now, Ben, I guess, he's on video talking about it. I saw a clip of it earlier, but he was like pitched the idea of making it into a documentary where they'd have to actually start living as women and try to join women's leagues, right?
Yeah.
Which would have been a fun video to make to make their stupid point. It would have been a better way to make it, except none of the men wanted to do that because they didn't.
Of course.
So it's just like, anyway, usually it's a country. We're a big country with 330 million people. You usually can find one person to point to who's an example of like, I think the last one was a couple years ago that ended the zeitgeist. It was like a trans girl running track in California who had won like the long jump at like a regional meet. Right, and then that was held up as example for everything, like with the crisis point or whatever. But there's nothing now. Like Sophie just like randomly generated this controversy, and there's nobody's even doing anything. But like I'm talking about, trans people suck at sports. I feel like we need, like, instead of like the girl winning like the long jump, we need like more coverage of like chubby trans kids who can't throw and have asthma. Like, where are they? We need, like, news stories about those. They just finished 11th. But, like, also, like I said, there's nobody, because nobody's doing anymore. You could just take the win, but you can't. Like, everyone's a sore winner now. You just got to rub it in a bunch of people's faces. There are no athletes to even point at. But, like, if you want to consider for a moment that this might not be about total respect for women's sports, I want to read this tweet from Clay Travis to you for a second. He posted this earlier today. Important announcement. I'm upping my offer. $10 million for a head-to-head basketball game between the defending WNBA champion Las Vegas Aces and a boys' high school state title team of my choice. If the Aces beat my team, I will give them $10 million. Now, I like him putting up my choice in there because there's a big difference between playing the Iowa State champions and the Florida or Texas State champions. So I just want to put up that he's very careful to save his money there. But like in Florida, the bigger states with more athletes, you're going to find like the team's going to be 6'10", right? So
Yeah, right.
So I just remember back like before there were laws and it'd be like these Carnival Barkers stage and like novelty fights. We'd be like, come on, step right up and see a Slavic man wrestle a bear or whatever. Like the kind of shit.
Yeah.
So that's basically
they were doing that anyway. Might as well charge, you know.
Yeah. But he's like, he's trying to do his version of that where it's like, let's see how many WNBA players it takes to fist fight a lowland gorilla. You know, it's like, what the fuck are we doing? This is how much you care about the sport. But anyway, now this Sophia Guest, I can't tell whether she wanted this to happen or not, but she's generated a bunch of protests, now in counter-protests. Now people are paying $1,300 a ticket to sit courtside in anti-trans t-shirts, which is a great use of everybody's money and time. And I got to say, man, like I watch some WNBA because, like, again, it's dead zone sports calendar, and I love basketball. You can tell by the way these people talk about this stuff that they don't actually watch the games because – who Sophie Cunningham is a bench guard on a fourth place team. That's not a gig, right. A dig at her playing ability. I would trade my entire life to be a role player on a mediocre professional basketball team. All
right. Right. Yeah. I really got milkshake ducked by Sophie Cunningham. The reference, if people don't know, the famous tweet where it's like, oh, the internet is in love with the new duck, the duck who drinks milkshakes, who went viral. And it's like 2 days later, we regret to inform you the milkshake duck is racist.
Yeah.
So I don't watch WNBA. Sorry, but I don't. And I saw that clip that went viral of her like doing that like little the little sassy pointing thing. And I saw in the context of a caption, the caption said like, toddlers pointing at a person with disabilities at the grocery store, right?
Yeah.
Just like, they do shit it's like funny. That. Uh-huh. And I sent it to Katie, and I was like, this is funny. That's a funny thing. This chick seems funny. And Katie was like, you know, she sucks, right? And I was like, what are you talking about? It's like immediately, then I found all this other shit out about her, which I feel like, I mean, that's what happened with everybody. She went viral for meme reasons, and then all this other stuff then happened.
So the pointy meme was funny because out of context because
I didn't know the context.
Out of context, people see it as like a sassy Karen, like calling somebody out or whatever, right? Sophie's a goon, and I don't mean that like an insulting way. Her job is when somebody hits, she plays the Indiana Fever, right? The same team as Caitlin Clark. When somebody hits Caitlin Clark in the head, her job is to come in the game and hit them back. Right. So what she was doing with pointing was a sincere threat of violence, meaning I saw you. I'm going to fuck your shit up. Next time you jump in the air around me, I'm going to throw you in the first row and break your knee.
Right.
Which makes her existence as like the new dainty like representation of feminine white virtue is like.
Right.
it all gets decontextualized.
Yeah. But if part of her job is. Yes. But if part of her job is to go out there and like hard, foul black lesbians, I'm sure they fucking love that, too. You know what I mean? Like
that's the sport, though.
Yeah. Right.
That's what's so funny about. How these women fair playing against SGA. Fucking let him play for 15 minutes. He'll go back to the NBA. They're all beating the shit out of each other. So, like, the quote, the ESPN piece that where she said this quote that riled everybody up was about the pointing meme and her role as a hot-headed enforcer. What she's known about for fans of WNBA is instigating bench-clearing brawls. Right? This is also fucking funny. So, but anyway, if you've seen enough of these sports panics about culture war stuff, they start, like, every one of them starts generating nothing but eye rolls, because this will pass, and it'll be a new one, and I don't know what it's going to be. Probably AI robots trying to play a sport or something, which I will hate. I'll be on the anti-side when that happens. But, remember Michael Sam got drafted? Uh-huh. He was, an openly gay player when he played for Mizzou, and they got drafted by the Rams, is that right?
Correct. Yep. All that is correct.
And there was like a whole thing about like, where is he going to shower? Right? ESPN did reports interviewing his teammates about whether they were comfortable showering with him. Sophie Cunningham has been showering with lesbians every night for her entire life. And that's no longer a big deal. So anyway, if you're actually worried about the integrity of girls' sports, I want to quote a couple of real life things happening that aren't imaginary right now. On the ballot this fall in Washington State, there's a law that'll bar transgender athletes. And the way they're going to enforce it is by making every girl who's played sports go to a doctor, just have their sex certified, whatever sex they're assigned at birth certified, through genetic screening, a testosterone levels test, or an examination of the reproductive anatomy at their yearly sports physical. So you're going to have to look at your seventh grade girl's junk, I guess, which I did the turn your head and cough part.
Yeah, so maybe- that's what I was about to say. I mean, that sounds really bad, but I was wondering about that. I was like, I mean, you know, right. That was the thing. You had to go get a physical. They fucking checked your junk out. Doctors have been doing that for years.
But it might feel different if I had, the doctor was checking for hernias, right? But like, if I had to go just to look and see if I had a dick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Plus, I don't know if right now if you want to be giving more people your genetic tests and your testosterone levels are going to catch people who just have athletic talent. But the second one here, the Harris Foundation, which, you know, they're the people that wrote Project 2025 and basically set a lot of current Trump administration policies, recently released a report calling for the dismantling of Title IX in an effort to increase opportunities for male athletes and suppress female athletics. The paper is authored by Boise State professor Scott Yenner, who's once called career-oriented women, quote, medicated, meddlesome, and quarrelsome.
Okay. What's he a professor of? Like
1950s, like, yeah, stereotypes. Yeah. I'm assuming Mormon shit at Boise State. So,
right, okay.
Even if it even calls Title IX the federal law that is the only reason women's sports exist at all, made America a global leader in women's sports, actually, calls Title IX a failed experiment. So all those sports you're worried about protecting are going to not exist, a large majority of them, in the current form, if a lot of these people have their way. Yenner wrote, by cultivating daring, risk-taking, physical dominance, and a desire for victory, athletics would prepare women for careers, leadership, and independence, rather than homemaking and motherhood. Now,
right. Which is bad, right? That's all bad. Right.
Yeah. Okay. I don't see the two things as independence and motherhood as separate things, but whatever. That's whatever. So, this is where it goes from being like retrograde to being a little gross. It says the paper, these male-normed women's sports are not celebrating distinctly feminine virtues of service, grace, and character. And it complains the participation of women in high intensity sports, and it calls for them to stick to moderate intensity sports in order to maintain optimal fertility levels.
Okay, well, when did you say this came out? This
last week.
Bro, good lord, dude.
Moderate exercise supports fertility and mental well-being far more reliably and does the high intensity elite model of sports, which as science shows produces relative energy deficiency in sport, red ass, and elevated levels of mental disruption in top-notch female athletes.
The broodmares getting run down out there, getting run ragged, right, on the basketball court for no good reason.
We keep pointing out how a bunch of these people in this movement keep complaining about how sad it is that teenagers are getting pregnant less often nowadays, and like they put it in writing, it's fucking weird. But the word fertility appears in this report about high school female athletes 9 times. And he wants to replace it basically with Girl Scouts and yoga classes. And the idea that women aren't that competitive is not my experience, bro. That they're being forced into being competitive when they don't want to be. My wife would flip a table over if she loses the board game. And my niece, she's really into volleyball. She would crawl over broken glass to fucking return a serve. Right? And also, I should point out, like, I seriously doubt Sophie Cunningham buys any of this bullshit, because she took a huge elbow to the face in a game over the weekend, stayed in the fucking game. They lost, by the way. Fever's in fifth place, so let's all pay a ton more attention to the fourth place score.
Is it just a pure coincidence that she's on a team with Caitlin Clark, or is that somehow part? Because Caitlin Clark is also like a political lightning rod. I know that Sophie went viral independently, but I'm saying her being Caitlin Clark's teammate, is that like amplified any of this for these people or anything?
I'm sure that Clay Travis would be less familiar with Sophie Cunningham's game if she wasn't Caitlin Clark's enforcer. Right.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, since we had so much fun talking about women's basketball, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back with a Daily Dumbass for everybody right after this. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You've heard me talk about BetterHelp on this show before, but what I don't think we've ever done is talk about what folks actually say about BetterHelp once they've used it. So here's what I'd tell you to do. Go to BetterHelp.com/reviews. Okay, they update it every single day. Hundreds of people write in about what the service has done for them. And I'll tell you the number that got my attention on there. BetterHelp's average live therapy session rating is 4.9 out of 5 stars, and that's with more than 1.7 million client session reviews. Pretty good sample size, y'all. Over 6 million people have used BetterHelp worldwide. That's a whole lot of folks deciding to say something out loud. Every therapist there has at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience, plus all the required education, training, and certifications across a whole range of specialties. And getting started is not complicated. You just answer a few questions, get matched with somebody based on what you actually need. And if it's not the right fit for you, you just switch. No hard feelings, no risk, none of that. You just see the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com/skews, S-K-E-W-S. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com/S-K-E-W-S. BetterHelp.com/skews. Help yourself with BetterHelp. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. 250 years into this grand American experiment, and every one of us has got to decide what kind of country we want this to be. The founders got a lot of things wrong, you know, but one thing they definitely got right was knowing that church and state should be kept apart, separated, you might say. You got Christian nationalists out here trying to bulldoze that history and take this country somewhere very dark indeed, and they're not even being quiet about it anymore. They'll tell you exactly what they intend to do if you just sit still and listen to them. They're misusing government power to force their beliefs on the rest of us, rewrite our history, and decide who they think gets to belong here. Well, Americans United refuses to let that happen. Every single day, they're holding the line with everything they've got over there at Americans United. AU has sued the Trump administration 7 times in the last year alone and 12 times since this second administration started. They've gone after government officials using taxpayer resources to push their own religion. They're exposing abuses of power, defending public schools, and holding the government accountable when it violates the Constitution. But lawsuits and policy change and community advocacy don't just happen on their own. They happen because people decide to be a part of it. If you're looking for somewhere to put that energy, go take a look at what AU has got going on. Visit AU.org/crooked to learn more and join the fight today. That's AU.org/crooked. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Quince. August is that stretch of the year where you can feel fall coming, but it ain't here yet. Still hot outside. Last good chance to get your house in order before the fall rush, school back in, all that stuff. You know, it starts in the closet. You want to look all right wherever you're going, wherever you're doing. That's how I ended up hooked on Quince. I tell you, their whole philosophy is based on the idea we need fewer but better pieces of clothing, premium materials that are made to last, stuff that fits you right, the thing you end up reaching for over and over instead of having to think about what you want to wear that day. Quince, they specialize in everyday staples that really pull their weight, right? Like, they got ultra soft organic cotton tees that, like I said, they fit you the way you want to be fitted. They're tight in the places that you want to be tight, loose in the places you want to be loose. As soon as I put mine on from Quince for the first day, my wife was like, "Where'd you get that?" Immediately, and in a good way. I could tell she don't never ask me that. And I told her Quince, and she was like, "Well, they're doing something right." Strong praise coming from her. Let me tell you, they got premium Mongolian cashmere sweaters over there if you're feeling like getting gussied up. They got things that work fine on a regular work day and also work if somebody drags you out to dinner after that. If you're still hanging on to the same worn-out basics you've had for years, Quince makes it easy to fix that finally. Premium denim and tailored chinos start at just $60 with the fit and the structure and the fabric you'd expect from a luxury designer brand. Everything at Quince runs 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories. They cut out the middlemen so you pay for quality and not for some fancy logo. I love that organic cotton tee. I already told you about it. It's been a big hit in my household. Not with my kids. They don't care what I wear, but other people have complimented me on it, and that don't happen that often, all right? But they don't just have clothes over there. Quince is a go-to for hotel quality bedding and bath stuff, cookware, travel gear, whatever you want. They can help you upgrade your everyday. So download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/skew. That's S-K-E-W. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK as well. That's Quince, quince.com/skew. Weekly Skews is brought to you by ZBiotics. Been on the road a lot, you know, as always, which means I spend Friday and Saturday nights out at comedy clubs, Sunday mornings flying back home to be with my wife and kids, and that can be rough, a rough combo. Them Sundays, I feel a little zombified sometimes, or at least I used to, so I became a big fan of ZBiotics, pre-alcohol that I take with me to help make my crazy weekend schedule work for me. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic, invented by PhD scientists to tackle those rough mornings after drinking. A lot of people don't realize this, but see, When you drink, people think it's just you get dehydrated, but there's more to it than that. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut, and it's a buildup of that byproduct and not dehydration in and of itself that's actually to blame for those rough mornings after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme that helps to break that byproduct down and may help you feel your best the next day. So you just remember to make Z-Biotics pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. And then, of course, as always, drink responsibly. And you will still feel your best tomorrow, okay? I was skeptical at first. I say that plainly. But, you know, I've become a devotee now. I took it one night, did my usual thing, and actually felt like a human being the next morning. And I was like, there's something to this stuff, so you should give it a shot, too. Pre-alcohol works overnight, so you can have a real weekend and still show up sharp come Monday morning. Go to zbiotics.com/skew and use the promo code SKEW, that's SKEW, for 15% off. One more time, go to zbiotics.com/skew and use the promo code SKEW, SKEW, for 15% off Zbiotics. All right, and we're back. We're going to jump right into it, everybody. Producer Matt, get it ready. The Daily Dumbass. Hit me with that graphic, please. This week's DD is Joe Biden's migrant caravans for reaching Africa, which is now somehow in northern Spain, by the way.
Morocco. This is a city called Ceuta. You're watching as thousands of migrants break through the fence and completely overwhelm the border police. Their video showing huge groups of people, mostly young military-age guys, cramming into inflatable tubes or arriving on shore another way, some of them wading in the water as they break through the gates to get to the other side. Sandra, this is reminiscent of kind of what we saw during the open border during the Biden administration. Through
there it is. Kind
of it is reminiscent. Because I'm guessing one of the things that makes it reminiscent is because there's a fucking election coming up. We don't have one of those here, so we got to find a caravan somewhere or create one, which is one of the things we're going to be talking about. But like, so a couple things here. Ceuta, Sueta, be the one goes, I think, is not in Spain. It's in northern Africa. It's like a Spanish independent like city or whatever, adjacent to Morocco. Spain's had control of it since like the 1500s, 1400s, some shit. It's one of those across the Strait of Gibraltar. I get why they want to hold on to both sides of the Strait of Gibraltar. So all the wars are, this is a side note here, but all the fucking wars are merging in a way that I find disconcerting. Ukraine's attacked Iran, but an Iranian ship. The Iran war apparently now involves tensions between Morocco and Spain, and we're on Morocco's side. And just a, another what? Side, yeah. That's what we're talking about. So,
okay.
Trey's been off the grid. So World War III, whatever conflict we're in the front end of, or hopefully maybe at the end of, I don't fucking know, but it's so goddamn stupid. I saw a statement put out by the ADP, which is the succession of the German Nazi Party, that J.D. Vance went over there to campaign for, are mad at Trump over his handling of all this shit because it's an attack on the sovereignty of Spain's socialist government, and they're being too racist to Muslims. But also, I saw a woman give a Nazi salute in protest of the Muslims in front of the Moroccan embassy in Spain. So everything's going fucking perfectly normal here. So to catch up on the broad strokes of what actually happened here, 60,000 people, mostly military-age males.
And I noticed how they pointed that out. That's definitely a very tactical choice of words there.
Yeah. Which is like Morocco has a huge unemployment crisis. I think like they have a population of 40 million people and 2 million of them are young unemployed men, which they have a big problem. This is probably why you have a bunch of migrants trying to leave the country. But so 60,000 people tried to break into Ceuta, which is a city of 90,000 people. At least 72 died by either via drowning or trampling. Then they realized they'd been misled by the internet and fucking left after some men needed medical care from the Spanish government. I need to point out here that like they resolved this pretty civilly without violence, which is encouraging. I would find it encouraging, and apparently a lot of people don't.
What did they got there and realized they were wrong about something? They're like, "Oh, our bad," and just turned around and like rafted back. How were they misled? And you know.
We'll get to that in a second, okay? But like, before we get to that, I just want to talk about like the tenor of like when this was actually happening, it was treated like 9/11 was happening, right? And then it was resolved fairly peacefully, and a bunch of people seemed really disappointed that Spain was able to pull this off without machine gunning a bunch of migrants at their city walls.
Oh, bro, there was people over here that were just waiting on all them Muslims to start, you know, assaulting good Spanish women and all that stuff so they could then be gunned down in the streets. And they were like fucking watching with boners on Fox News, just waiting for the bloodshed to happen and a new crusade to start a new holy war to end up.
The real invasion is YouTubing chuds, because they've all gone there looking for stuff now. Talking about the invading Muslim hordes, like a boy Nick Shirley's on the ground there. The Mormon kid who can't
Somali
read.
Somali guy.
People killed. Yeah.
He's not a Somali hate monger.
Yeah, he got a bunch. He got a couple people. He's the one that jumped off the Minnesota invasion and got a couple people killed over some somewhat imagined, you know, to a significant degree, fraud cases. So, I saw him walking around complaining about how, like, he feels in danger from all the Muslims who are still in Ceuta. Ceuta's it's in Morocco. It's adjacent to Morocco. It's half fucking Muslims. It always has been. That's who lives there. Anyway, so as far as, like, what they were misled about, you were asking, getting into Ceuta is not a real path to Europe. You can't really, like, it's like one step closer to be able to claim asylum and maybe get a hearing, but it's not like being in actual Spain. So they were misled about being welcomed in and the borders being open. Matt's trying to show us on a map where it is. So, Spain thinks this is a conspiracy. They're calling it like a hybrid attack. they're saying, let me quickly read a headline from a Spanish newspaper here. The Civil Guard detects Moroccan intelligence agents among the migrants who infiltrated Ceuta. The Civil Guard detected through camera system deployed along the Ceuta border, the presence of Moroccan intelligence service agents infiltrated among the groups of immigrants. The migrants, who were mostly Moroccans looking for jobs, said they saw social media posts encourage them to undertake this journey. And here's a clip from CBS News, if you got this, Matt.
Here told me they decided to make the crossing after seeing social media posts claiming Spain is an open door.
So you saw on social media that people were making the trip and then you decided to get in.
Yeah. Sturge hasn't had concerns in Europe and checked my...
Yeah.
Okay.
So
there was like a misinformation campaign aimed at them saying that Spain is like, come on in, the door is open. Then they got there and realized that wasn't true, and they're like, well, shit. And then they left. Okay.
Yeah, and 70 people died. El País, which is a Spanish newspaper, reports that many of the accounts that spread claims that the Morocco border was open have already disappeared from social media. Let me quote here from a piece in El País. Quote, if you see these stairs, your dream will have come true. That's what a TikTok said. That message was permanently deleted, which included video with images of Ceuta. Quote, the Spanish border is open and you can cross without papers, was the general message the guy named Ahmed received, which mobilized a wave of young people along the roads of northern Morocco in an unprecedented migratory surge. The application of the messages may have relied on bots or automated accounts. Then, you know, the TikTok accounts vanished and the Facebook groups are deleted. And Spain's saying this is a version of an attack that would kind of psyop that we see in 2026.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it to me. It's some kind of coordinated effort, isn't it, from somebody somewhere?
Yeah.
Like,
the question becomes, because these sort of internet psyops are so cheap to accomplish at scale, the question becomes like, who could possibly do this and what's we're going to get into in a second. But the same networks mentioned points of sale for wetsuits, fins, diving goggles, floats, and even waterproof bags for carrying documents and cell phones.
Well, that's who did it, Mark. Big aquatic sports.
That would honestly, like, maybe.
They're just trying to juice their fucking tube sales for the summer. They weren't meeting expectations or whatever, so they came up with this in a no bad ideas brainstorming session down there. Fucking. I don't know what he was. Ocean Pacific headquarters. That's a dated reference. Who makes shit? Who makes this shit? Do you know?
Katim? Like, I don't know. Yeah, Katim's like a whole idea.
I can't think of a company that. Anyway, you get it.
Where I got this hat at, the Freaky Tiki Surf Shack in the Gulf Coast of Florida.
Here start there, investigators. The Freaky Tiki Shack.
So the post detailed screenshots of Google Maps to direct migrants to Terra Hall Beach on the Ceuta border, which are areas with less police presence where they could try to escape poverty. Quote, I'm desperate. I can't find my place in Morocco. There's no room for me here. The messages I received on the screen led me to Ceuta, but I had to return. confessed to Ahmed, the 23-year-old unemployed man. Another similar piece in The Guardian, quoting different migrants, saying, quote, the Moroccan police were shouting at us, go, 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 run now, run into Spain. The night before, they were beating people, but that morning they were letting us through. Nothing made sense. Hmm. And here's a picture of Moroccan border guards about to brain one of their own people with a rock for turning back. So all this seems very, very legit. They also were doing racial policing for casting, I guess, because like they beat Saharan migrants to try to join a group of like ethnic Moroccans who are Arab or Berber. And like I said, like there's a huge unemployment population between the age of 15 and 25 in Morocco. I quoted the number 1.5 million earlier, but the number goes up to over 4 million if they increase the age range to 35. Quote, the Moroccan government seems to have other priorities to which it dedicates billions, such as organizing the World Cup, said the leader of the Moroccan Association for Human Rights. The reason the United States and Israel and also Morocco are beefing with Spain are myriad. Spain's been very vocal in their criticisms of Israel and their conduct of the war in Gaza since October 7th. They've called for prosecutions to the International Criminal Court. They've also stopped selling Israel weapons. They've also forbade the U.S. from using their airspace to attack Iran, right? Also, Morocco just wants, they do want their territory back from Spain, which again, Spain's had for 500 years. And Spain's prime minister just visited Algeria, which is Morocco's arch enemy. They're the Newman to Morocco's Seinfeld, as I was thinking of it. So in more recent context, and back in 2020, the U.S. announced it would recognize full Moroccan sovereignty over the Western Sahara in exchange for Morocco normalizing relations with Israel during the Abraham Accords. Following that, Israel fully recognized Moroccan sovereignty over Western Sahara in July of 2023. And in January of 2026, Israel and Morocco signed joint military work plan for the year during the third meeting of their joint military committee in Tel Aviv. Now, I'm not trying to be conspiratorial here. I'm trying to talk about what other people are being conspiratorial. Because if I had to guess what happened here is the Moroccan king did this on his own with like a small group of people. And there was already a large group of people who wanted to go into Ceuta. And they just like let it happen. Right?
Because... what, just trying to get all these poor people off their books or something?
No, because they hate Spain. They want Ceuta back, and they want control of Western Sahara, and they're mad over the prime minister visiting Algeria. All the stuff I just said.
Yeah, but what does letting these people into Ceuta, these like just hordes of like refugees, essentially,
what is sending 60,000 Moroccans into a Spanish city of 90,000 people do? It conquers it.
Yeah, but they're not. I don't know. But then they left. I mean,
right. Uh-huh.
They just turned around and left.
Right.
And again, they weren't conquered. They were people that were like, hey, could I get a job? No? Okay. Bye.
No. It's a huge headache. It's a huge headache for the government of Spain.
Right. So it's just like a country scale. It's just a prank, bro. They're just like trolling Spain with their poor refugees or something.
Remember
just
during the Biden,
fuck them.
Remember during the Biden presidency when like Texas would ship busfuls of migrants to New York City as a troll job?
Yes. Okay. Right. So it's like that. All
right. Right. But like one thing I'm really not a fan of is so Trump is a conspiracy theorist, right? A lot of the people in our government are conspiracy theorists. Israel likes to troll conspiracy theorists. They like to look bigger and more powerful than they are by making people think so the Nazis who believe in like Zionist occupational government would be like the Jews control the media and the banks, and then Israeli influencers would be like, and politicians would be like, we do control the media and the banks. And they go and they're like, and then you tee hee hee, it's like a little like coy game they like to play here, right? And we also like the people like to run our government, like people are doing the same thing. They'd like to see bigger and conspiratorial and in control all the time. But it is enough to make you go insane. For example, Jeffrey Epstein was a big fan of the King of Morocco, by the way. It was King Mohammed VI. Mohammed 1 through 5, not the shit, but King Mohammed VI, Epstein, big fan. Mm-hmm. So is Trump, by the way. This is a story from January 16th of 2021. He gave King Mohammed a medal, the Legion of Merit, which is usually for like civilian military heroes or something. So 10 days after January 6th, Trump was given the King of Morocco a medal, whatever he was worried about. But, like, they've been pretending to plan this for a long time. Back in March, this is from a piece from an American conservative think tank, the Middle East Forum. Quote, with Spain's socialist prime minister Pedro Sanchez embracing the language of decolonialization, Mohammed VI should reclaim the spirit of the Green March to finalize the expulsion of Spanish colonists from Moroccan soil. This is another example for our noise alert for reactionaries using woke language. They start talking about the expulsion of Spanish colonists.
Yeah, it sounds like Israelis in Palestine, right?
Yeah, that's the point they're making. It's like, how dare you criticize us for trying to seize Gaza when you still have Ceuta, right?
Yeah, right.
It's a piece from YNET, which is an Israeli publication, in April. The Abraham Accords reached the strait, how Israel can help Morocco reclaim its north. It's a genuine crack in Spain's strategic armor over Ceuta and Melilla. Into that crack, Morocco's most consequential new partner, Israel, is uniquely positioned to press. And then, in the middle of all this, 2 weeks ago, when Congress passed our new national defense authorization, the House, mostly Republican votes, passed passed the NDAA with $40 million for Morocco, along with a committee report advising that the Spanish-administered cities of Ceuta and Melilla are located in Moroccan territory and remain the subject of Morocco's longstanding claim. So, if it's not a conspiracy, this is a deeply unfortunate series of propaganda pieces. And then on Saturday, right in the middle of all this, this U.S. embassy posted another tweet pushing the fact that Morocco should have control over the Western Sahara. So we're just in the middle of, like, pushing all their expansions.
The Western Sahara is totally separate from Ceuta, right? It's on the west side of the country. It's like Taiwan to them, kind of, right?
Yeah, it's like unclaimed territory. It's like a disputed territory, but that Morocco mostly controls between them and Algeria. It's like the value is like it has. What's the name of the phosphate? One of the chemicals you use in fertilizer. It's really rich in that, which the world needs fertilizer right now because we fucked up Iran. And it's like the coastal waters off the west coast of Africa are rich for fishing. So that's
so they want to solidify their control of that. They also want Ceuta back from Spain, and they're like working with us and Israel to achieve that somehow.
Yeah,
in or various at least ways.
Yeah, and this is a. Another piece from April. This is from a publication in Morocco. Ceuta and Melilla are not in Spain. Top Rubio ally escalates against Madrid. This is quoting a Republican congressman by the name of Mario Diaz Ballart, who's a Cuban American congressman from Florida, who's a close political ally of Marco Rubio, who's meddling in internal African politics on behalf of King Mohammed for reasons I do not fucking understand. I just feel like it's been 80 years since World War II. Mm-hmm. This is the last World War, thank God. And all the stuff, the norms we put in place to not have another one, like you shouldn't seize another country's territory, which is a pretty big one, we're just throwing that all away on behalf of King Mohammed sending Bitcoin to Mario Diaz Ballart or whatever the fuck happened here.
Right. They're just bros, and, like, we're all in the same, like, Epstein fucking brat pack or whatever for back in the day. It's just shit like that. Plus also Spain's being real, you know, bitchy and woke about all the Israel stuff or whatever, which is pissing us off and everything. So now we're on the side of Morocco against a Western European country.
Because Spain, like 70% of Americans, think we shouldn't be attacking Iran.
Right.
Right? And, like, so for what reason are we doing all this? Like, I can't, no good reason is what I'm saying. Yeah. And, like, I think if you tried to explain to your average American that we're closer allies in Morocco than Spain, the place where everyone goes for summer abroad, they'd be like, what? Right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it just seems weird and off. You think Trump's got, the Trump family's got financial interest in those phosphorus mines or whatever the fuck you're talking about in Western Sahara?
If they don't yet, they will in 2 weeks, and that will be when we send in the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of all this fake conspiratorializing, depending on where you come down on it, I'm not even really taking a side, but Yair Netanyahu, Bibi's son, has been taunting Spain about funding NGOs to do exactly this migrant conspiracy since at least 2019.
Okay, well, that sounds like a bit of a smoking gun then.
But they, like, again... Yeah, maybe they just openly did a conspiracy, or maybe they're just taking credit for shit that happened to look super wizardy and powerful.
Yeah, or he was throwing it out there all that time to give somebody else the idea to do it or something.
You know? Yeah, but in the middle, like, dude, in the middle of all this, like late last week, Trump just randomly announced something no one else knew, with that the King of Morocco is named a highway after him. Like nice. The king, it wasn't public yet in Morocco, so I don't even know how he knew about it. Must have got a text message. But yeah, in a post from his True Social platform on Sunday, Trump thanked Morocco's monarch, King Mohammed VI, and said he looked forward to traveling on the, quote, great highway one day. So yeah, I'm a little bit confused about what anybody even hopes to get out of this. But again, like I said before, the internet makes psyops cheap at scale, and at scale, and Morocco's got a dipshit king who feels untouchable, and he can get 70 of his own people killed in a troll move to annoy Spain and destabilize Europe at no cost to himself. Maybe he got $40 million to do it from America, of American taxpayer dollars. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he just makes it. Maybe he did it of his own volition because he thought Israel would be a big fan of it, and it didn't make him laugh. But like, everybody wins here. Trump gets a highway. King Mohammed gets $40 million. Israel's adversary gets punished. The only downside is, 72 people are dead. And Europe, is historically the most war-torn continent on Earth, and the jumping-off point for both world wars gets politically destabilized. But you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs, can you, Trey?
Right. But yeah, also, I mean, the destabilizing is like a feature, not a bug, right, for the people that are doing this. With Spain in particular, I mean, they want Spain destabilized.
Right. It's not going to be, because Spain's currently in a war of words with Italy and the Nordic states over this shit. They're trying to close their borders to Spanish travel because they're afraid the migrants somehow get into mainland Spain and then invading their countries or whatever. And then, so when Norway's firing artillery into the Netherlands as a proxy war against Spain, and we've got to pick a side, I don't think it's going to be fucking... it's definitely going to happen. I'm saying, this raises the prospects of a bunch of shit like that happening that I don't want to see happen. I don't know any sane person who does. All that being said, do you want to have some fun talking about The Passion of Tony Fauci while we got a few minutes to fill?
Sure, yeah. I knew something was happening with him, but I don't know what.
So he was dragged in to testify in front of the Senate last week, and your first question might be why now? Are you wondering why now? Because I am.
I don't know. They just now got around to it. They haven't had a win. They haven't had a win in a while, and people really hate this guy for some reason.
Yes.
And so bringing him in there is like a pinata. Get some of the base back on board a little bit, at least temporarily.
People got to go vote in 2 months. And where do they go? What are they going to? There's no Biden caravans. There's people don't like the war in Iran. Inflation's not great. People hate the tariffs. Trump's disapproval rates are over 60% in some polls. So I was trying to been followed. As always, the right wing narrative on this stuff, if you try to follow it, is that COVID was an engineered bioweapon that was also harmless.
Right.
Trump overreacted to it by shutting down the country, then engineered a drive to create a vaccine that was the real bioweapon that killed millions.
Right.
And it's Joe Biden's fault via time travel.
Yep. You nailed it. That's how I remember it all. That's the narrative, as I recall it.
I so much effort is put forth to in denial of the fact that Trump was president until January 2021.
I mean, that was one of the big reasons why. I don't know. I remember it being part of the narrative. It's like, oh, this is one of the reasons why Joe Biden won that election is because Trump was going to pay for COVID because he had been the president for when it had first popped off, and shit had gotten so bad. And then he was talking about oh, we're going to get this vaccine. Don't worry, we're going to get. It was it was a whole thing. And then later the vaccine is evil, like you said. But now it's Joe Biden's baby instead of Trump's, even though he was in when it was all happening. Just all, who the fuck knows. So, and then, Fauci, I still don't know. I mean, he just had the, my God. Talk about a thankless task. You know what I'm saying? He was just the dude who had that job at that time or whatever, and now he's the fucking antichrist to the dumbest people in this country.
Yeah, and it's also, he'd been in that job since the 1980s, I think, right? So, he just, laid into wait from the time he was 30 years old until he was 85 to pull off a global pandemic at the age of 85. So, but talk about this time travel from the problem they have. It's Let me quote here from Stephen Miller on Fox News last week. I was there. President Trump saved America from a Great Depression by fighting against those who wanted to shut down our way of life. Trump, again, let me quote, here's a headline from April of 2020. Trump says he strongly disagrees with Georgia Governor Kemp's decision to reopen businesses. Like, maybe I'm the only one who remembers this stuff. I don't fucking know. But it's like, a lot of this misunderstands Fauci's job description. I'm not even depending his performance at his job. It just wasn't his job to decide whether or not businesses were closed.
Right.
He ran the National Institutes of Health, whose job it was to dole out research grants. If he fucked up any of this, it would be like which studies into COVID he funded, or if you're conspiratorial, which gain-of-function studies he helped fund in Wuhan, right? So, but everyone's so fraught over their skis of this. I just like RFK thinks he's really found something, went on TV and said that not only was COVID created in the lab, but so was Lyme disease. The oldest known case of Lyme disease was found in Ötzi the Iceman, a 5,300-year-old natural mummy discovered in the Italian Alps in 1991.
Okay, on that note, I can give you an update. I guess these two things are somehow related. Yeah, so what's going on in Clay County? My buddies do not believe this. The guys I hang out with, they were telling me this, and they like, oh, can you believe this shit kind of way? Uh-huh. These guys are saying that the fucking, I don't know, Fauci's people, big liberal, who the fuck knows, is dropping boxes and whatever, big like hordes of ticks into places to give people Lyme disease. Because, Mark, do you know what one form of Lyme disease in particular does to people? Mm. It makes you allergic to meat. So it makes you a big gay vegetarian, right? And they're trying to turn everybody vegan through the strategic use of tick clouds or something. That's like a new thing that they're talking about. And ticks obviously have Lyme disease. So there's something going on in conspiracy world about Lyme disease and ticks and stuff right now. And it's related to beef.
I guess. Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. I have heard that conspiracy theory. I'd forgotten about it. Like, I just think, like, I don't know, man. I feel like I walk around, I see Americans eating plenty of meat. So
yeah, well, there are a ton of ticks in where I'm from, but there always have been. But now they were saying it's like they named all these people that they knew personally that had gotten Lyme disease, and now they couldn't eat cheeseburgers no more, and that's real sad.
You know, that would make me sad. I like it.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, that would super suck.
Yeah. So when Fauci was called to testify in front of the Senate panel, he pled the fifth a bunch, like 109 times, I think, which I need to say, like, literally anybody facing this government who, under oath, who drags everyone they don't like into court would do. We just talked about the canoeist who's almost faced 10 years in prison for touching paint. And I guess, like, the goal of this to do anything was to gin up a bunch of, you know, nonsense about him refusing to answer questions. And I guess it absolutely worked, I guess, because one of the things I saw was Stephen A. Smith publicly apologizing to Kyrie Irving after calling him selfish for refusing the COVID jab back in 2020. Quote, hindsight-wise, it didn't make him stubborn or selfish. It made him brave. Now, you can spend an hour talking about Kyrie Irving, his specific brand of nonsense, which I'm often a fan of in various ways, just not this one. If you remember why Kyrie didn't want to get the vegan the vaccine back in 2020, it's because it wasn't vegan. He said he would get a vegan vaccine.
Uh-huh.
So I guess he's brave for not getting it. Anyway, the idea there's some sort of, anyway, it doesn't, like, all this stuff is like, I try to get to the bottom of the conspiracies with an open mind, because I didn't enjoy the pandemic. If we could all pin it on Tony Fauci and move on with, like, would it make you guys happy? Like, just if we let you kill Tony Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
If we just let, like, can we all be 2026? The pandemic was 6.5 years ago. Can we fucking, are we ever moving on? But anyway, like, I tried to figure out, like, to get to the bottom of this, but you go through Fauci's emails, the ones people are holding up as evidence of a conspiracy. He was open to the idea, or basically very warm to the idea of it being lab created early in 2020 because of the, you know, I don't know how to describe it. I'm not smart enough, but like the features of the virus under a microscope. But then later on, he saw updated evidence of a previous naturally occurring example that had that feature, and he updated his thinking. So the idea that he changed his mind is being presented as like a huge conspiracy or something. And then the diarrhea is embarrassing. I just want to say that. The diarrhea is fucking hilarious. He was, like, very excited that people were making bobbleheads of him. And, like, that he was answering phone calls from Dionne Warwick. And people were promoting him as the sexiest man alive. So, I personally would not want that read. But, you know, no. This is why I don't keep a diary. But, yeah.
He was, like, 80-something-year-old guy who had been, like, a bureaucratic medical professional for 40 years or something. And now he's a celebrity at that point in time.
Yeah,
okay, I'd probably pretty fired up too.
I do say that people, like, it does come across as pretty narcissistic, but, like, the people that, like, are screaming about him being a narcissist, would you not be the main character of your own diary? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, God bless Fauci. We'll see. All the best to him. All right. Thank you guys for watching. We appreciate it. Please check my website out, treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. I'm off for a couple more weeks, but then at the end of this month, I'll be in the Midwest, Omaha, Kansas City, Des Moines, and then a bunch of other places. Upstate New York, Hartford, Connecticut, Austin, Texas, Eugene, Oregon, a bunch of other places after that. All at treycrowder.com. Consider checking out Producer Matt's audio exclusive. Good skews, good people doing good things. Nice little palate cleanser for you. That's on the audio feed for this show. Okay, so like your podcatcher or whatever you use, the audio version, it's on there. And if you'd like to support the show and get more of it, you can go to weeklyskews.com/more or just go to Patreon, search for my name. It's $5 a month to get you access to 2 full-length bonus episodes, ad-free editions of every mainline episode we do, and also the roughly quarterly Q&As where we answer your questions. Either way, thanks for watching this. We appreciate it. And we'll see you next time. Love you. Bye.
Skew.